Blog Talk Radio.
All of that. I'm told to strengthen us, lead us, guide us, open up our minds, open up our understanding of your word, ultimately bring us closer to you, Father. Thank you for all the trials and tribulations that you've been through, Father. Thank you for strengthening us, getting through those trials and tribulations, Father. Most of all, we thank you for the lessons that we learned from you. Continue to grow us. We ask, Father, that you protect everybody that's on the great, protect Israel as a whole, take the best Yahweh. Most of all, Father, take us physically, but protect our lives, Father.
Amen.
The best way of the attack is, Father, this world is trying to distort what we see and what we think and how we feel, Father. So protect us in our sins, Father. We ask that we keep each one of one another in prayer. We ask that you comfort anyone who's and that we all be willing vessels ready to do your work. In Yeshua's name, we praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Kol Shabbat, all may be seated. Right. Shabbat shalom, family, and welcome to another series of Study to Show Thyself Approved unto Yahweh, a workman that be not ashamed. I'm your brother Ahab All with our best Yahweh congregation in Baltimore, Maryland, USA. And before we get started, just remind everyone to as my brother always does on his session and the evening before, remind everyone, get your tools together, whether it be electronic, whether it be physical, so that way we can go on this journey together. It's one of the things that we like to make sure that we do here is don't take our word for it, as our old leader used to always say, study for yourself. Okay. Am I coming through this one? Okay, because I know sometimes that gets muffled. I just got the reminder to put my big boy voice on. Let's see. Oh, turn this one. Need the technical man to be there. Yeah, so if anybody could just send out a quick text on the group, see whether or not my voice is coming through. Hold on. I am. I'm good. Okay. Hallelujah. All right. Just bear with me. Family out there in the cyberverse. Make sure everybody in the house can hear me. All right. All right. Testing 1, 2. All right. So, how's everybody been? Everybody been well? Everybody been good? Well, I'm going to be honest. I've been struggling. Seems like prior to this teaching session, I always expect things to jump off prior to me teaching, but I didn't expect things to jump off in the manner in which they would jump off these last couple of weeks. Even recently this morning, go downstairs, basement, water coming out the water tank, the hot water tank. Had to put an emergency call in for that, man, just dripping water and all the way down to the furnace. It's just like one thing after another. But you know what? You know, through the struggles, as my brother said in his prayer, through the trials and tribulations, they give us the strength to carry on. Because the one thing I did not want to be deterred for this Shabbat was to miss the beginning of the session that I wanted to teach, you know. But thankfully, I got a soldier at home, and she can handle it without me until I get there. So she says she's good. Go ahead and teach, brother, man. So I'm like, all right, then. Hallelujah. That's what's up. So for the next 6 weeks, we're going to be talking about something that's very simple in essence, but somewhat complex in its execution, and that's love. Love. Love is. And I left it as love is ... because throughout the scriptures, love is explained. We are given examples on how to properly love. The problem is the execution of it, the getting the mind, the spirit, and the body to all act as one with the Creator to perform what He defines as love. That's where the difficulty lies. Because it is contrary to our nature. It is contrary to our maker. We are not made to love. We have to learn this thing. And then the thing about it is, when you're in the world and you're learning what the world defines as love, and then you become a believer, you come to find out what the world has all been teaching you what love is all along, isn't quite it. You know, because when I watch people who do a lot of charitable giving, you know, from time to time, you turn into the game shows and you see, or the talk shows, and you see where, you know, because of your struggle, I heard your story, I'm going to, on behalf of such and such organization, grant you this $25,000 check. And the person's like, oh, thank you. This is just what I needed. Oh, you're the best. Oh, you're the. And people look at that and they say, oh, that person's so loving. That person's so giving. That person's so this. But when we look at how, and not just in the Old Testament, but even how it's defined in the Renewed Testament, the addition to or the magnification of some things within the Torah, we realize that ain't it. Granted, your giving is good, but one of the things that we are told in that giving is like this. Just put it somewhere. Tell the person where to find it. Don't have them brag about it. Because one of the things that it says, it doesn't boast itself.
Man.
I gave you this $25,000 check. Well, guess what? The honor and glory should first go to the Creator who gave you the ability to provide this for this person. And that's where it should start. But you rarely hear people say, when they get the award and all that type of stuff, they be, thank you. You know? But when it comes to what they give sometimes, or most of the time, rarely do you ever say to the person, well, it was given to me, and as it was given to me by the Creator, I want to give it back. It's usually, And we learned a long time ago about that, and what that means. And it's not going to be long lessons, family, because honestly, love is simple. It don't need a whole 2 hours on Blog Talk to really get the lessons across. Honestly, it doesn't. Because even when you think about when Yahushua was asked, well, what is the greatest commandment of them all? He could have said, well, Bereshit, Bara, Elohim, Et, Hashemayim, Et, Hashemayim, and went all the way through. And Yeshua, Isaiah said this, and Elijah said this, and Joshua said this, and this prophet said this, and Samuel said, he didn't do that. He said, love Yahweh with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength. He said, the second one is just like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. But the difficulty is, see, most people look at the love your neighbor part, but there's a, what is that, preposition? I'm not very smart when it comes to that sort of stuff, and I've been out of school for a long time. But as yourself, what is that considered as a part of the sentence? Whatever. Huh? The as yourself part. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, whatever is considered, most people forget the as yourself part. And that as yourself is very important. Because if you are in a conditioning, we just went through a whole teaching on the mind and the troubles that we have with our mind. And so many people are caught up in this hamster wheel in life of trying to find ways to appreciate and love themselves. So if you don't know how to appreciate and love yourself, how could you express love to others? Because he tells you, you've got to love that person the way you love yourself. But if you aren't loving yourself and you don't know even how to love yourself, how can you love others? My brother and I, you know, a few years back were talking about, you know, difficulties we were having in relationships. And one of the things that a gentleman, my dentist, gave me was this book called The Love Languages, The Five Love Languages. And he broke it down into the five different ways that people receive love and the five different ways that love can be expressed in a relationship. And that even though you may conceive love to be one way in a relationship, if your spouse isn't, if you're not speaking what your spouse needs as love, then you'll always have a disconnect. If your spouse wants words of affirmation, but your love language is, well, I'm going to give you, but the spouse wants to hear, well, you know what, you look good today. Or the spouse wants to hear, you know what you did was great. Or the spouse wants to hear those things verbally. You can give all day long physically, and it doesn't mean anything to that person. Because you have some people of the mindset, I can provide those things for myself. You know, you ain't got to buy me a car. You ain't got to buy me a TV. You ain't got to buy me that. As I'm able to, I buy me. But when I make a nice meal for you, I want you to go on and on about it. Oh, tell me more. So if we have that disconnect there within ourselves and within others, how do we ever really reach one another with this force, this element, this essence, this power called love? I had a dream a few weeks back, and I shared it with Brother Yaakel because he was in the dream with me, and it was about, I know he shared it, but I'm going to share it again if you'll allow me. He called me up in the dream, and it was one of the dreams where it's like real vivid, like, Banaha! Yeah, Shalom, Rabbi. We got to do something. I'm like, what we got to do? He's like, we got to go re-anoint Gershon Ben Daniel's body. I said, why we got to re-anoint his body? He said, come on, we got to do it. It has to be done. And I said, okay, all right, let's go. So I said, we got to dig him up. And he was like, no, we don't have to dig him up. So in my mind, in the dream, I'm thinking, Well, how are we going to reanoint him without exhuming his body? But anyway, as we got to the place where we originally anointed his body, he was laying there the same way he was. And I remember he took the white linen off of the top half of his body, and we started to anoint him. We got the oil, and we anointed his body. And as we started to anoint his head, he sat up and just started talking, you know, with the same old voice. Come on, y'all. And we were listening to what he was saying. And that was it. That was the end of the dream. Nothing spectacular, just that. And after I told, you know, Rabbi about it, and he shared it with the brothers, Brother Daniel said, well, maybe you should go back and listen to some of his lessons. And I said, yeah, I didn't respond, but I said, you know what? Yeah, that's right. And as I'm contemplating, well, which lesson? What is it? Simplicity was one of his saying, simplicity. And his message was always simple. Love, right or wrong. For those of us who knew, he said love. Out of all the things we learned from him, out of all the things we took from him, even in his last will and testament that he left for us, so to speak, the one thing he emphasized was that. Love the Creator and love one another. It's the only way y'all want to survive. Sure, he told us a lot of things throughout our history with him, but the one thing he always came back to was that in English, four-letter word, L-O-V-E. So we're going to talk a little bit about love, and bear with me because there's some things, you know, before we get to that Abba said, read to the congregation. And we're going to, you know, we're going to be reading from the King James Version. And we're going to start in St. John the Apostle. Because there are some really important messages in here that we can't gloss over. And the funny part about his book is everybody else's book starts off with something different. One starts off with the genealogy. One starts off with the divinity of them, you know, and I forgot what the other one starts off with. But for some reason, there was something that John the Apostle, his top one, saw that he wanted to take us back to the very beginning about the Messiah. Right. You know, not his physical origin, but the essence of his spiritual origin and who he was and what he did, which a lot of times, you know, once I get to that one particular scripture, you know, which is one of the world's most overused and abused scriptures, but it's still what we need to know about him and our Heavenly Father. So we're going to start with John 1:1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yah, and the Word was Yah. The same in the beginning with Yah. So now we see right there, and without getting too much into diving into it, that there is, from the very beginning, an essence that he wants us to know that took place within the beginning. You know, and if you do a little study into it, and you realize that when it talks about the Word, there were some utterances. There were some things that were being said at that particular time that he really wanted us to glean from, or to gather that through studying by his Spirit about what he did at this particular point. So back to 1:3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Then he goes on to say, there was a man sent from Yah, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He, speaking about John, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light. 1:9, and I always get confused because when I'm reading and I'm studying, I try to take those italicized words out of there because they were added to give a certain thought, but sometimes I think they detract from the thought. Sometimes they don't really add to the thought. But for timeliness sake and to keep going and don't get into all of it. But he says, he was 1:9, that was the true light which lighted every man that came into the world. He was in the world, and the world, and this is going back to this entity, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And that's very important. Well, we stop right there to think that, because it's talking about the Messiah, it's talking about Yahushua, and the fact that he made all of this, that was so funny because the text went out today. And when I read the text, I said, wow, because having to do the dual lesson today, this second lesson goes hand in hand with what was said. Because Abba had a plan from the very beginning. And when you go in and you look at just the first verse of John, and you look at it in the Greek, one of the things that it brings you to is utterances, or it brings you to deliberateness and will. So that means from the very beginning, Abba had a plan in place that was ironclad. But the only thing that this plan had to be done, or the only thing that needed to be done, was for this plan to be executed. It had to be played out, for lack of a better term. And I think part of what we were sent in the text was that, you know, this is like a play, it's likened to a play, right? And there are plots, subplots. You know, when you think about some of our favorite movies, they have plots, they have subplots, they have character development, they have people who are their protagonists, and you have to have an antagonist. You know, you have to have people who are the side of the protagonist, you have people who are on the side of the antagonist. So when you think about what he's saying right now, he came in, he brought illumination. He brought something into this world that the world could not comprehend, even though he made it himself, even though he came into it, even though he landed on this planet. There were things that, one, they couldn't receive mentally, and there were things they couldn't receive physically about him. There were things they couldn't receive about the words that he spoke. Because when you think about comprehension, what is comprehension? Kanye Bina, in all thy getting, get understanding. So that means out of all, they could not understand. Like, what was it? Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? They could not understand the words that came out of his mouth. And he even came along later and said, look, I'm doing all this talking, all these multitudes. They ain't getting what I'm saying. And even when you think about it, he had to pull the apostles came to him. His talkers came to him and said, what you mean by that? And he had to say, wait a minute. I've been with y'all all this time. You ain't understanding some of these things I'm telling y'all. I'm doing everything. I'm doing everything the father Abraham was said to have done. It's a teacher to the right. You're sitting at home while you're walking away, when you're lying, when you rise up. He was with them as much as he possibly could be with them. Morning, noon, and night. Because remember, a lot of them left their livelihood in order to be with him. Matthew had a good government job. He was a tax collector. That means he had a good job. To have a government job in this day and age is a good job. Right or wrong? And he worked for the Roman government, which at that time was the federal government. You know, even those people who go through those furlough situations, trust me, you get back money plus some compensation for the time when the government shuts down. So that's a good job to have. I don't think anybody in here would turn down a government job if it's going to pay you well and provide you with benefits that actually, even with my wife as a state employee, when she retires, I get retirement benefits because she worked for the state. That's awesome. Right. So my job ain't giving her nothing. But hey, hallelujah. So anyway, then when you think about what Kepha did, what Peter did, he was a fisherman. Back then, when you lived by the sea, seafood was king. And it was a lot easier to go out there and drag your net through the water than go out there and hunt some oxen. You know what I'm saying? To go out there and hunt all the... It was a lot easier. It's easier to go in there and fish because you ain't got to take care of fish. Y'all take care of the fish for you. All you got to do is grab it out the sea. It ain't like when you got a cow or a goat or a sheep. You got to feed them. You got to make sure you get up early enough to take care of them before you take care of yourself. Talk to any farmer. I've talked to farmers. The reason why a lot of them get they're in that life is because they love it, or they get out of that life because it's just too taxing on them. You know? So having livestock is work. It's extra work. But when you're a fisherman, not that it's easy, because when you go out there and you do that dragnet, you got to understand the nature of the fish. You got to understand the nature of the lake or the area that you're going to be dragging these, getting these fish out of. You got to understand all that. There's a science to that. There's a science to fishing. But anyway, not to get off all into that, these men, at least the ones that we learned about initially, had some pretty good livelihoods. And they walked away from it all when he said, come follow me. Matter of fact, he didn't even do that to some of them. Some of them, he just dragged them across. He said, come on. And they understood exactly what that meant to do. But anyway, not to get too far off. But when it goes and it says in 1:5, the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. 1:6, there was a man sent from Yah, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to be a witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to be a witness to that light. Back to 1:9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. 1:10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Do y'all understand that? When it says he came to his own, who is his own? Who's his own? Israel! The Jews, Hebrew Israelites, he came to them first. And what did it say that they did? They didn't receive him. So which is even worse than the people who didn't understand him? Because now, when you think about, we're going to go into some of that a little bit, when you think about the ones who came to him, who this is their hope, this is what they, and we're going to see that in the second lesson. The whole point of doing this is to hope that you are going to receive the promise. Man. Why do we come here on Shabbat when there's a whole lot going on out there on Saturday? I got a situation right now that needs my Saturday attention. My water heater went up, but it's Shabbat, so I need to be here. So there's that sacrifice that comes in because it says, you know what, you're going to handle it, Abba. I'm doing this because I'm anticipating your salvation. I'm anticipating you keeping your word. I'm anticipating that this, I'm doing this because I'm in allegiance with what you plan to do with this world and what you got planned for me. So this being our reasonable sacrifice that we come here on Sabbath to align ourselves with Yahweh, says what? When he came to his own and he said, they ain't receivable. I don't want it. Talk to the hand. Get out my face. Matter of fact, you keep talking, we going to find a way to kill you. We going to silence you. And you know, Yahweh put this thought in my mind. You know, I love talking to you. One of the things I enjoy about my job is I've got the whole experience of African American. I've got men that are elders. I got one man who volunteers with me. He's pushing 70. Awesome guy. I love talking. He comes in every day, just like old men do, men from his generation do. He comes in with his son's paper. He read that paper from front to back, especially politics. And he's just my speed. He loves talking about politics. Right? Then I got the young ones who's into all of this stuff. And I show them all the time. The way y'all rap is so simple. I could rap just like y'all. I could say the same thing y'all saying. It's just I got too much sense to really try to make that a career. But the fact that y'all, they get rich, y'all shows me, it shows they got a certain business say, but it's so easy to rhyme like these dudes, and I ain't got no lyrical skills, but I shock them all the time. But anyway, not getting into all of that, you know, but one of the things, he broke Mr. Rick, the 70-year-old gentleman, almost 70-year-old, broke out one day, hey, Trump, the worst president we ever had. I said, why do you say that, Mr. Rick? You know, why did you have the outburst? I said, how many presidents have you, been through in your lifetime? He said, man, I remember the day Kennedy got shot. I was like, what? I was like, what were you doing? Kennedy got shot. He's like, man, that's why I love Kennedy to this day. He got me out of trouble. I said, what you mean? He's like, I was in the principal's office when he got shot. I was going to get in big trouble. And you said when the word came over the loudspeaker, they sent us home that day that he got me out of trouble. He said, but he broke down how much Kennedy was really trying to do for the people, right? The downtrodden man. Then he started going into, you know, when his brother got shot, when Martin Luther King got shot, the assassination of Malcolm X. And we talked about a few things, and I'm going to share some of the things with you, but one of the things that made me realize is, you know why these things happen? Especially in light of where Israel and their mindset is these days, because we want liberation, we want freedom, we want to do this, and we're going to change the world. What is Yahweh's claim to fame throughout history? What is the one thing besides the sending of his son and the resurrection of his son? But prior to that, what's the one thing that is his claim to fame for Israel? Liberation, right? From what, Reddy? Egyptian bondage, right? That's Yahweh's moniker, the thing he said. Don't you ever forget. Don't you forget it. Don't ever forget how I took you out of Egypt with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. So guess what? Anybody else who tries to free us, guess what's going to happen? They're actually working against the will of Yahweh. Because this is his work. Liberating Israel, liberating people from their bondage is his work. No other person's work. So as you come up, and there have been some really great thinkers throughout history that were on our side, who, especially in this country. And unfortunately, this may not sit well with a lot of people or may not be popular, what I'm about to say, but it ain't nobody else's work to do until Yahweh say do it. And you can see where all of this, because Yahweh has not been in it, has worked to our detriment. So that's why everybody who comes up gets popped, because it ain't your position to do that. What happens to the prophet when the prophet speaks out of turn? He gave the prophet a message. He said, don't do this and don't do that. And another prophet came up to him and said, yo, come hang out at my house. He said, you sure? Because Yahweh told me not to do it. He said, man, it's all right. But not knowing all along that Yahweh was using that prophet to test the willingness and the sincerity of the heart of that prophet. So he's big with him, and I can't imagine how that whole scenario went down, because he went to his house, he hung out with him, and then the prophet said, you know what, you done messed up now, bro. Yeah, didn't Yahweh tell you not to deter, not to go to the left or to the right? And he said, yeah, he sure did. Well, why are you at my house? You ain't supposed to be hanging out with me. Now I hear the words that Yahweh got to say. This is your judgment. The moment you leave this house, there's going to be a bear waiting for you on the way. Was it a bear or a lion? Line. There's going to be a line that's going to be waiting for you on the way, that's going to tear you apart. Yahweh pronounced a death sentence on the prophet for not speaking the word that Yahweh placed within him. So as people who house the word of Yahweh, it's very important that before we speak anything, that we make sure that it is in line, and we are constantly aware of what, even if another prophet comes along, that's the lesson in that. Even if another prophet comes along and says, do this or do that, you better check in with Yahweh first. You better redial his number. You better have him as Duke 1 on speed dial and say, Yahweh, I'm going to pause right here. Is this your will? Because if he had taken that moment, that's why we get these, if he had taken that moment to pause and say, hold on, I got to talk to Yahweh first, because, yeah, you might be a prophet, but me being a prophet, we have the same connection to Yahweh. Let me go talk to Yahweh before I come hang out with you at your house. But he didn't do that. But Yahweh said, you should have done that. You should have listened to me. You should have at least checked back in before you did that. But anyway, I don't know how I got off on that. But anyway, so back to the scenario. So, you know, when you think about, you know, all of these people who have risen up, and all of these people who, and even now among the nation, all these people who have all these solutions, are you checking in with Yahweh to see whether or not you are working in according to his plan? And the reason why I'm saying is because of the message that went out today. Because think about it, y'all. Even with, we went through Job, right? And so when the son of Yahweh came up, who came up there? The bad guy. And the bad guy had to ask, can I be part of the script? Can I be in the play? He said, sure you can. Because I need you in this play right now, because I'm doing the work. I'm weeding out. can't forget this lesson. He's gonna put a separation in Beth Yahweh between the rams and the he-goat. Right? And he said he's gonna start with it, and he said between those who's gonna serve him and those who's not, and that's before Yahweh can do anything outside to the other nations, to the world, things got to be right in his house. You can't go out there swinging the belt at other people's kids while your kid is acting a monkey. You see what I'm saying? It don't work like that. And that's a lesson from Yahweh. Spank your kids. Make sure your kids is right before you come spanking my kids. That's rule number one to anybody that's got a parent. Okay, you corrected my kid, but hold up. I see your kid out there doing the same thing. So if you just beating my kid because you want to beat somebody, no, beat your child. Then send my child home and let me handle that. Because obviously you ain't doing it for the right reasons. You're not doing it out of love and correction. Because judge, and he says, these are certain qualifications for the man who's in his house. And the first qualification is what? Keeper of one wife, and his home has to be in order, right or wrong? Okay. So you can't correct nobody if your house ain't in order. But anyway. So one of the things that, you know, Mr. Ricks was talking to me about, too, was he was talking about, you know, the crime, of course, that's taking place. And, you know, and Jack Young said something very profound, and he knew what he was saying. He said, y'all know. Don't look at the police force. Don't look at me. Y'all know. Y'all know who out here doing that. Don't give me that, because y'all know. My man dropped some knowledge on me. And I said, dang, man, well, what's the solution? He said, well, you got to think about it like this, Brother Sean. He said, if a grandmama is doing wrong and a grandpapa is doing wrong and the children is doing wrong, what you think the grandchildren are going to do? And he said, you got generations of people who is involved in this criminal activity, right. This criminal life. So it ain't never going to be solved because ain't nobody raising a child with a conscience. And when he said that, I was like, wow, Mr. Rick. Maybe I shouldn't say anything, but anyway, I said, wow, sir, thank you very much, man. Wow, that's simple, but yet very deep. When you got families of people who, this is part of your lifestyle, and it's almost like choose you this day what you want. Water, life, fire, and death. And if you choose the fire, that's what you're going to get. You know, it's unfortunate, but it's the reality of it. These are choices that we are making. It's so funny. And working, I ran into two detectives coming from trauma. And, you know, at first I was mad about what they were saying because they can be very cynical. You know, they're very, you know, they can be. They're so jaded by what they see. It's like, you know, but he wasn't buying the soft story. And the guy wasn't buying the person's soft story because he was like, yo, you have choices. You have a choice. Your circumstances don't have to define you. You can rise above your circumstances. So don't give me that same old cliche, well, this happened and that happened and that happened and that happened. Because there are people who are out there in a similar circumstance and choose not to do the same thing. So don't come back at me with, yo, man, this happened. I didn't graduate high school. Okay. I didn't have a mother. Okay. I didn't have a father. Okay. Keep coming. This. So why did you do it again? Well, so and so, why did you do it again? So and so, maybe. So why? Wait a minute. No, you chose to do it. Nobody makes you do anything. Wow. Nobody makes you do anything. If Yahweh can't make us do certain things, no fleshly being can make us do certain things. And we see examples of that throughout the scriptures. These are choices that people are making to do what they do. But anyway. And we see that it's from generation to generation to generation. You just have people who are bent on doing evil. But anyway, so even when he says, back to 11, and his own received him not, that's because they are choosing not to look at what Yahweh has sent them. Some people among Hebrew Israelites are willfully ignoring certain things just because it doesn't fit with their program.
Yes.
Just because it doesn't jive with them. Not because it's not the truth. It just doesn't sit in with them. We can go back to our counterparts. Well, wait a minute. Now, we thought y'all didn't believe in the resurrection. We thought y'all didn't believe in the afterlife. No, we just don't teach it. It's not something we put on Front Street. But trust me, we believe it. Wow. but it's just not something we tell everybody about. Wow. Why?
Exactly.
Because even in it says salvation is of the Yahudim. So you mean to tell me, and that's why he says, you're not getting in and you're not allowing others to get in. So if you're not going to let other people get in, I'm not going to let you get in because y'all got the keys. Y'all the gatekeepers. So guess what, gatekeeper? Because you're unjust gatekeepers, I got to take those keys from you. It's still going on today. It's still going on today. Anyway, sorry, y'all. Went off on a tangent. 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave to but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of Yah, to them that believe on his name. See, that's very important. Very, very important. 1:13, and this is the part I always love. Which were born, not of blood. We ain't born of this physical nature, nor of the will of the flesh. Just because mom and dad got together for whatever reason, it was not their will that they got together for you, nor the will of man. You ain't no scientific experiment. You ain't no test tube baby. Yahweh is covering all bases with how even man nowadays. They just had a situation in the news where the fertility clinic messed up and gave somebody else's baby, a test tube baby. Y'all see that story? Man, for 3 months, this baby dropped with a whole nother family. Come to find out through DNA testing, one day baby all along because they went to the fertility clinic. You see, back in the day when a woman and man were having difficulty conceiving, what did they do? Huh? They sought the priest of Yahweh. They didn't go to Dr. Cunningham and ask Dr. Cunningham to extract the sperm and the egg from their body and cook it up in a test tube. They said, let's seek the face of Yahweh and do what nature asks us to do. And if it is Yahweh's will, it's going to happen. It ain't about your count. It ain't about whether or not the eggs. It's about whether or not Yahweh says life come into being. He's covering all bases. Nor the will of man. But to 1:13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of Yah. 1:14. And the word was made flesh. Why does he go right back in and say that? Because he wants them to know that him becoming flesh was something totally divine. And dwelt among us. And this is John adding his little piece. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And see, when you do a little study on that word grace, you know what it actually is? It's a Greek term called charis. Now, granted, you can see when you look at it from the very top layer, the Christian spin on it about, you know, what it means. But there's some truth in that, too, because as a believer, those promises were made to us. But, you know, when you distill it down to the very root of it, it means cheerfulness. And that he brought not just truth, but he brought a certain cheer to the word of Yahweh. And if I may share a story about my brother at work, because the spirit of Yahweh dwells within him, and because he goes through his day with that grace, with that cheer, he was actually to lead somebody to a better feeling about themselves. Somebody who came through every day and saw him and was greeted well by him. She, as a matter of fact, to the point, and I know my brother shared it with y'all last time, that this executive threw him a party because every time she came in his presence, he made her feel good. And not out there telling her word this and word that and word this and word that. All he did was, while he's doing his work, and I watched my brother, he come out there in the morning, he got his bucket, he got his rag, cheers, making sure everything is in order. He does his diligence every morning. When I come in there early, or sometimes I see him, I don't mess with him. I say, I'll wait till break time. But he's got a smile on his face. He's got a good word to give to people. And guess what? The top honcho in the hospital, recognize that. She said, every time I come through, I see you doing your work. You got a smile on your face. You know, like the little dwarf, they say, what's the why you work? He out there and he's chilling. He got his headphones in sometimes and he's doing what he do. And she noticed that and spoke to him one day and the way he entreated her. Now, I'm too busy, ma'am. I'm working. I'm trying to get my work done. Hey, how you doing? Oh, yeah, I'm so-and-so. I'm so-and-so. Okay. Did she even ask you about your face initially? No. No, she didn't. But he always got it on display. The same way you see that car sitting on his chest, same way you see that schedule, that's how you see my brother every day at work. Shirt open sometimes. Showing off his T-shirt, but that's how you see him at work. But she didn't ask him first about his face. That wasn't what stood out. What stood out to him was his chaste behavior. That's what stood out to her first. And she came through every day just to get that good energy from my brother. This is an executive. The top, she is the queen of hearts at the hospital. What she says goes. I don't care if you're the CEO. She the CNO, and her word is law down there. You hear what I'm saying? Above some doctors, above some big name, big money people. And I told her, but she in your corner? That's Yahweh putting her in your corner. Because she is a power player to the point where she said you should honor that man. Why? And it wasn't for how he set things up, but how he made her feel when she came in there. Because she don't get that feeling when she goes into her office. She leaves her office to come to where he works to get that good feeling to what, she said? To start her day. Didn't she tell you that? She comes to see his smile to get her day started? Huh? Come on, man. Here in words of encouragement from a to get her day started. So she comes to my brother. She's still coming? Okay, you ain't bragging. I'm bragging about it. So don't be feeling no way. Okay, I'm up here talking about it. You ain't talking about it. I can do that. I'm the third party in this situation. Okay? All right. So she comes through just to see my brother, just to get her day started. That shows you the power that we have within us when we are tapped in and we have the spirit of Yahweh within us. Because when you look at that, when you have some time, go and study that, because you don't see a lot of that amongst our community. Our community, and I'm talking about the Hebrew Israelite community, is to the point where I heard one brother, and now he locked up because of all the hate he was spewing out there. If I saw you on fire, I would bring out a bucket and make you think it's water so you could dip your head in it and so your head be on fire. Now you in jail. Because you out there spewing that kind of hatred. That's not the spirit of Yahweh. That isn't. But we won't see that. Sorry, y'all. I keep going off on tangents. Please forgive me. It's been a while. John 1:15. I'm going to read 1:14 first. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So he's telling us he gave us an example. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Father. Those are John's words. Full of, that's a little side blurb right there. Full of grace and truth. So not only was he out there cheerful, not only was he out there with a good spirit, a good report, and it's so funny because we're going to talk about it in a second lesson, and he had the truth. But listen to what it says. John, bear witness of him, and cried. This is John the Baptist, not John the writer. Bear witness of him, and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And it's so funny because what I believe John the Baptist is older than Yahushua, wasn't he? He's his older cousin. But listen to how Yahweh set it up. Yeah, you're the older cousin in the flesh, but now he comes back and says, yeah, I know y'all, some of y'all might know that this is my little cousin or whatever, but guess what? He came before me, speaking of his divinity, speaking of his divine place. So don't look at him as Yahushua HaNazareth, as my little cousin, that kid from Galilee, from the slums or whatever. Look at him now as the one who, even though I'm his big cousin, I'm here to promote him, not myself. He's preferred before me. He came before me, not in the flesh, but of the spirit. See what I'm saying? Back to 1:14. John made witness of him, Christ saying, this was he of whom I spoke. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, and he was before me. And this is another part. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace, full grace. and not the way that grace is promoted out there in the sense of you can just do whatever you want. But it's good tidings, it's cheer, it's joy. That means all of us are supposed to have a double portion of that in our life, of this good feeling that he gives us. For the Torah was given by Moshe, but grace and truth came by Yahushua HaMoshiach. And it's not to say that what Moshe gave was bad. That's not what he's saying here. But as my brother, I believe his lesson now, or his teaching segment, is going to be magnify the Torah, right? It's going from Bible 101 to magnify the Torah. Why? You see what I'm saying? Because that's what Yahushua came to do. And we are coming to a point now where the words and the teachings of Moshe have to be polished up a little bit. You see, because they've been tarnished through the years by what men have done to it through the flesh and through the fleshly things. But see, without the spirit of Yahushua, when that spirit is lacking, and see, even when you look in the Torah, speak to the rock, Moshe. You're supposed to go over there and just talk to the rock. But what did Moshe do? Do I have to? He got angry. Sorry, sweetie. And he got angry. He was supposed to bring what to the people out of that rock? Water, which is what? The spirit. But see, now you see, this is where those old mindsets are acting in the sense of Moshe. Why? Because they frustrated with the people. And they lost sight. They're losing sight of what's going on. See, we can't afford to do that here. Get so frustrated with the situations that's going on out there that we forget we're supposed to bring another element to this. Let them bring some debate about that Torah stuff.
Right.
Our responsibility now is to bring a greater level of understanding, because obviously what we hear, people lack that. It is lacking out there. It's lacking out there, and it ain't for us to go through some verbal gymnastics with these people. No. We're supposed to just drop them jewels, boom, and drop the mic and walk away.
Hallelujah.
You know what my man saying in that movie? Sweep the leg and walk away. Because obviously, and another, you know, I watch that's the thing, and I watched the one that Rabbi sent out the other day. Let alone now, these are the believers that's messing up the word, the ones who's supposed to be believing in the Torah and in some instances believe in the Messiah, let alone somebody who has no connection whatsoever, can sit there and try to justify an act that Yahweh calls an abomination. Why? Because you want congregational numbers? Because you want money? Because you want to be up there with the TV snakes and the creator flow of dollars for your private lead? That's what you want too, brother. That's the only reason why you pandering and catering. Don't talk against them. Come on, man. He was real slick with it too. Real slick. Now, I ain't going to say nothing against them per se, but that's why you the hip-hop preacher. Because you know hip-hop right now is king. And if you could go up there and get a hip hop, a hibbit to the hibbit, and a hip hop, you don't stop, come to my church, and you click that, and I won't turn you away. Because your dollar is also green, it don't matter to me. That's what he was saying to him. That's why you don't care what Cardi B say, because Cardi B say a whole lot of filth. And her big mouth got her in trouble now. Bragging on what you did. You marked. You better watch what you say out your mouth. You better be careful. Because the same way you rise to the top, the same way you fall to the bottom. Because, see, the reason why that happens to so many of them is because the one who grants them, he rose to the top and got shot to the bottom. So that's why so many times you see them plummet the way they do. Because even in his world, he got to look like he kind of sort of good. I mean, you can't grant a guy like a Mr. Epstein $1 billion, and then you want to go around and get crazy and mess with a bunch of little girls and think I'm going to be okay with that. At least privately, the devil might be okay with it, but publicly, he's got to say, oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 you got to go to jail for that one, buddy. All the while, he's complicit with it, though. That's the system. That's his system. That's how it works. That's how it works. You can have a man lie to your face and tell you, yeah, I stopped them from saying send her back. I wasn't in agreement with it. And you see all the shows say 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000, 4-1000, 5-1000, all the way up to 15. And you ain't say, hey, y'all, stop it.
Come on now.
where you had a man who, when they said, you know what, I think he is a terrorist. No. Don't say that about him. No. So he has an example of what you should do. Stop it. Don't you say that. Even if you agree with me, see, now you done messed up. Now, baby. They messed up anyway. But for the law was given by Moshe, and grace and truth, 117, came by Yahushua HaMashiach. No man, 118, no man has seen Yah at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, has declared him. And when you look at that word declare, you know what it means? He came out here to hype him up. Why do you call me good? Hold up. See what I'm saying? He's giving us the example because he easily could have said, yeah, I'm good. I'm the only begotten, y'all. I'm about to be your salvation. You heard my name. What is it? Yahushua. Yah is salvation. That's me. But what he said, whoa, hold up. Don't call me good. And then ain't no, oh, don't call me good. Hold up. Don't call me good. Don't try to get up in my head. I know what you're trying to do. Don't call me good. There's none good but the Father. All right, so get that in your head. Don't come following around thinking that you're gonna be like I'm gonna be a pansy because now you bigging me up. You ain't gonna be able to sign me. You ain't gonna do all that to me. No. There's none good but the Father. So get these hints, Satan.
Man.
See what I'm saying? That's why he's stopping. Oh, he rebuked him. Ain't none good but the Father.
Man.
Don't try to get up in here with that. No. 119. And this is the record of Yehukanah. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Moshiach. This is talking about John the Baptist. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elijah the prophet? It says Elias, but it's Elijah the prophet. And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he said, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, you can tell they cousin's voice. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of Yahweh, as saith the prophet Yeshayahu, Isaiah. You see what I'm saying? We ain't go all that back and forth. Simple answers. I ain't got to tell y'all nothing but this. Hear what I'm telling y'all. Get corrected. Get right. This is what I'm only going to repeat what Yahweh said through the prophet. Get right. That's what he told him. I'm that voice crying out here telling y'all to make straight the way of Yahweh. That's y'all responsibility. The words and the oracles of Yahweh were entrusted to you. And we are talking about love is, fam. You getting here, okay? And they which were sent, John 124, y'all. I'm going to start at 123. Here, he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of Yahweh, as saith the prophet Isaiah 24. And they which were sent of the Pharisees, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptize thou if thou be not the Messiah, nor Elijah, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me, again, is preferred before me, whose shoes latcheth I am not worthy to unloose. That's humility right there. These things were done in Bethel beyond the Jordan, where John was baptized. Continuing on, family. The next day, John seeth Yahushua coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of Yah, which taketh away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Yisrael. Therefore, I am come back. Baptizing with water. And why the baptism, y'all? Why that ritual of dipping ourselves in water? Well, when you think about the korban, what is the korban? We talked about it, the offering. But when you dug into it a little bit, what was the korban? What does that mean, right? And what was the one about the animals? Was it the animal, when we dug into it, it came something about the animal. Did I hear that wrong? Was that the korban?
Well, that is one of the animal sacrifices.
Right, the animal sacrifice, right? So now, whereas this thing is not supposed to be about a fleshly thing whatsoever. So now, we go into that water to simulate that death so that way nothing else has to die. You feel me? So when we being that we are supposed to be a living sacrifice and he doesn't want human sacrifice, we dip ourselves in there long enough because we can't dwell in there and we are brought back out of it because he doesn't want human sacrifice, but he does want us to give over that nature. You see what I'm saying? We're supposed to take that dip for that reason. But anyway, I'm digressing, y'all. Where was I? 134, I believe. I said it 132. And Job bear record saying, y'all, who's going to bear record saying, I'm the spirit. No. Sorry. I went too far. The next day, 129, John sees Yahushua coming unto him and says, behold, the Lamb of Yahweh taketh away the sins of the world. This is the one whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I am come baptizing with water. And John bear record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. For he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptized with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of Yah. So now I'm going to fast forward a little bit, family, because this is when he calls the disciples. You don't really want to go into and call the disciples. And the next part is him going to the wedding feast and turning the water into wine. We need to go into all of that. But I want to go into this one part in chapter 3, okay? There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Yehudim, the Jews. The same came to Yahushua by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from Yah, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except Yah be with him. What did he do right there? He made a confession that there are people who, even though they outwardly deny Moshiach, know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was Moshiach. Now, how either, when the scriptures talk about, and they received him not, I applied to Publishers Clearing House because I want $5,000 a week, and I'm being quite honest. So I signed up for Publishers Clearing House because I'm hoping Steve Harvey will come knocking at my door sometime later this year. No lie. Okay? I'm being very honest about that. Right? So imagine now Steve Harvey comes to my door with that $5,000 check, the first of my weekly $5,000 check. And I say, Steve, don't need it. Boom. And shut the door. What did I just do? I blew $5,000 a week for the rest of my life is what I just did after winning. That's exactly what, as a matter of fact, what they did was worse, because when they didn't receive Yahushua HaMoshiach, they closed the door on salvation, not just for themselves, but for generations to come after them, because this is what we are experiencing in this world. People don't want salvation. The easiest and freest gift to receive, and I'm not talking about people in the world. I have literally heard people who have said, there's a woman where I work got the Ouija board. Yeah, Ouija board tattooed on her chest for the world to see it. You're going to see her one day. She's been there for a minute. So that's somebody who sold themselves out. I want to be a channel for demonic energy. You see what I'm saying? When you tattoo that on your chest, so that all, not deep down now, right up here, right under the neck, so people can see it. What are you telling? What are you telling the world? You sold out. It's in your flesh. You sold out. But there are people who say, I don't want it. Salvation, don't want it, don't need it. At least you think you don't. You see what I'm saying? But this starts right here. 3:2. The same came to Yahushua by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher, come from Yah, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except Yah be with him. Yahushua answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I always think about Shabbat, whatever, I see that. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of Yah. Very perplexing to somebody who's supposed to be a taught one in Israel. 3:4. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Yahushua 3:5. And Yahushua said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Yah. And it's so funny because what is the sign that birth is sure enough coming with a woman? That's always a sign. Bam. First the plug, and then right after that, boom, the water broke. Right? So it's so funny because that's perplexing to him because they knew that back then. Wait a minute. What you talking about, this water? We already come born into this water. The water breaks before the baby comes. You see what I'm saying? This is perplexing to him. He can't understand the simplicity of this. Do you accept Yahushua HaMashiach? Do you accept Yah? I do. All right. Simple. Something as complex, because remember now, before they were quote-unquote physicians and OBGYNs, them and their wives, that's what they did. That was their responsibility in Israel. You see what I'm saying? They needed to understand, oh, wait a minute, I see the baby is breached. They didn't go to Johns Hopkins Medical School for that. This was something they knew because this was the wisdom that Yahweh had given them over time to understand it. Man, what is going on inside my belly? Oh, my goodness. Oh, it's so painful. It's so painful. Go to the priest. What did the priest say? This I'm talking about our mother. What did the priest say to her? You got two nations. What? He ain't had to do no sonograms? You figure one baby pushing up against her rib, the other one pushing down on her bladder, and she going through all kinds of pain. She don't know where she's coming or going. And she didn't go say, I need a sonogram because I don't know what's going on. I need them to really check this out. What did she say? Go to the priest. And the priest said, what, my brother? You got two nations going on in there. He ain't say, put the gel on. Lift your stomach up. Put the gel on. All he did was say, Yahweh said, you got two nations fighting inside of you. So you mean before there was a physical sonogram, all you had to do was, how Professor X do it? Touch his head, and the knowledge comes to it. You know, you speak, you touch your head, you dial into Yahweh, and Yahweh say, oh, two nations, huh? Ain't no sonogram for that. But we're not knocking modern science, but I'm just saying. Verily, verily, 3:5, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Yah. That which is born of the flesh, no, that's flesh. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again, because he's sitting there like, hold up, you dropping some science on me, Yahushua. I'm explaining this to these cats when I go back to them, because me and you having private conversation. He's perplexed at this, the simple wisdom in what he's telling him, because it's like, boom. Look at what he said. I love Yahushua and these words of Yahushua, the red letter. He said, the wind blowing, where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell when it comes from, or whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You see what I'm saying? Now, backtrack to where he says we're not born of the will of blood or the will of flesh or the will of man, but we are born of the Spirit. See, they're not going to understand us either. You see what I'm saying? This quickening that is coming to Yahweh's people is not something that man is going to comprehend. It's not something that you're going to get by the will of the flesh. It's not something that you are going to study yourself into. This has to be a gift from Yahweh. Oh, my. Shalom Aleichem. Hallelujah. That was not planned at all, Father. I can tell you right now. So I'm glad I got here first. Got him. Am I still on? So he says, the wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. And it's been some windy days, right? But canst not tell whence it cometh or whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? He still messed up in the mind behind this. 3:10. And Yahushua said unto him, art thou a master in Israel? And you don't know these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moshe lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And when you look at that situation in the book of Numbers, that literally wasn't what it was, because it was like, wait a minute now, and it wasn't nothing mystical. He told them, make that bronze serpent, lift that bronze serpent up. And it would be a thing that normally Israel would be like, whoa, 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 a serpent. But the whole point is, it's not supposed to be something that you comprehend. It's supposed to be sometimes just obedience to it. Just do as I ask you to do. But this is the part, and this is the last verse, family. For Yah so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For Yah sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of Yah. These are Yahushua's words. And this is the condemnation, that light came into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Gift of salvation. That's the first.
Yahweh gave us this thing. It's time to stop talking. Yahweh gave us this thing that before we even came into this world, it was all.
So nobody who comes after this time has any excuse. From the time these words were spoken up until now, people do not have excuse. 3:16 is the most quoted scripture in all the world. That's a statistical fact. You don't even have to believe in a God, and you know John 3:16 says this. So anyway, it's a free gift. That's the first part of love. Love is the fact that Yahweh gave his Son for us while we were still yet sinners, to die for us, even though we were disobedient, even though we still at times are disobedient, even though this world is disobedient, he still sent his Son and still has the door open for anyone who wishes to come in and accept him. But you got to accept his Father, and you got to accept his name. Shalom, family.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
home for me, family.
Yes, Father, thank you. In the beginning, to walk away with you, righteous in all generations, for trust me to thank you, to send his grand spirit, all the words of truth and righteous. Trustworthy by the Lord, amen. Trustworthy by you, that whatever words is turned back to his words of open faith, you will be trustworthy and passive. Blessed are you, God, the mighty name which trusts me, all his name. Amen.
And plays demonstration with a man had her trapped in a maze, trying to find herself again. Much of that she gave. Love can free us, to which some react as a slave. Funny, we love her more when they relax in a grave. Wonder if a thug is raw, is he acting afraid? Everybody loves somebody, I attract shade. Heard of the love of money, but compassion it pays. Talk about it with my youth, so she understands what it is to be loved by a man.
How beautiful love can be on the street. Love is hard to see. It's the place I got to be. Loving you is loving me. Okay. How beautiful love can be. On the street, love is hard to see. Gotta reach that frequency. Loving you is loving me.
Some say that I'm a dreamer cause I talk about it often. Seen the hardest nigga soften with his homie in the coffin. We walking, standing, fall in it. With the right companion, we all in it. Mary sang a song about it. Having broad limits in the game of life, it's the scrimmage. Reminiscing on letters I wrote in my small days. A letter to the people love always, yeah.
How beautiful love can be. Woo. On the street, love is hard to see. is the place I got to be. Loving you is loving me. How beautiful love can be.